The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga, and I'm here with my co-host Pat Kane. We're going to try to set up some of the elections that are coming up this fall and just give you some information on the upcoming elections, and we're going to have candidates on throughout most of September, October, and November. There's only one Saturday in November, but first I want to welcome my co-host, Pat Kane. Good morning,
Pat.
How
are you today?
I'm doing fine. There is something I'd like to mention to Pat, and I want to apologize on behalf of, I want to say I'm sorry on behalf of our Talk Saratoga family, and that is the passing of your brother.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
That's got to be a hard thing.
It was difficult. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he was a good guy, and at a young age.
Yep.
It's very hard when we lose somebody, and it's even worse when they're young. And I just wanted to offer my apologies, and I know other people involved with the show and friends wanted to say their pass their condolences along. Pat, just a few little things. When I posted the show on Facebook, I got a couple replies, and a couple, you know, they're my friends. I haven't seen one of them in probably 40 years, but they both moved to Saratoga.
Nice.
One of them is a good friend of mine, a longtime friend. His parents were friends of the families. He owned radio stations in Johnstown and the area, Mohawk Valley area, Joey Caruso. And his statement was, fix the streets in Saratoga. Go to the state for Route 29 coming into Saratoga and Broadway. Shameful to see the streets with all these guests coming into the city. No excuses. You take the taxes, spend it, and, you know, nothing happens. And the next one I got was from Vince Vezzi, who I grew up with in Gloversville. He was a few years younger than me, but he moved in to Saratoga about a year ago from outside the area. And he said to Joey, been here a month, could not believe how bad these roads have become. So that seems to be a theme in our Department of Public Works, not only with the roads, but with the general condition of the city.
Well, there's no plan, Rick. There's never, you know, and again, you're not faulting the fellows that are out doing the work in the streets. You just look at the lack of planning. And the idea is, you know, there's, well, let's do this and let's do this. And so you get a few weeks notice that something's going to happen, but which is a repair. But instead of doing that, why aren't we having a basic report that says Broadway gets this and, you know, Lake Avenue gets that. And instead it's just whatever we have money for. And as soon as we decide we don't have any more money, we stop the program.
Right.
And that's just such a lackluster way to run a department.
Yeah. And being part of one-fifth of the decision making in the city. So we'll get into more of that later. I want to talk, there was an article in the Times Union about the essence of gentility and sophistication. It sounds like Saratoga Springs, but you may not know that it is. And she, Wendy Libertor, the reporter, was talking about the battles in the Democratic Party and the condition of
the Republican Party.
Yeah,
and
the condition of the Republican Party. And what I call the battles in the Democratic Party are nothing more than a candidate who lost a primary to a very well-qualified person, Patty Morrison.
Yeah.
Michelle Madigan lost the primary, and instead of honoring her Democratic pledge, which is to support the endorsed candidates, because Patty is the endorsed candidate for the finance position, she decided to stay on the Independence Party ticket and
working families.
So she really caused a problem. Madigan did in the Democratic Party, and I find that abhorrent. That a person like her, well, I shouldn't say that about her. That's normal.
Right.
That's normal for Madigan. But I just want to read some of the people that resigned from the Democratic Committee because I think this is very, very bad on their part. It just shows what kind of games that they wanted to play. Mm-hmm. And when they lost, they couldn't take it. So if you would mind, I'd like to give the ones that resigned. Okay, page 5. We got like 9 pages here. So,
yeah.
All right, and I just find this a terrible thing. Patty Morrison won the Democratic primary hands down. It may have not been hundreds of votes, but it was the highest.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think it was the second highest total in the city's history of the people that turned out for a Democratic primary.
Exactly.
Yet the loser, Madigan, said, oh, you know, it was the least amount. I mean, she's so used to spewing false information that I don't know if she believes it or that's just her M.O.
I know.
But the fact is like, oh, you know, this was such an inefficient thing. Baloney. She lost. She lost, period, whether it's one vote. I mean, we lost the charter by 10 votes with, 10,000 voters.
Right.
So the vote is the vote is the vote.
Exactly.
Not like, oh, I'm going to, I'm going to spread bad information and say that this was the least participated primary in Democratic history. It's baloney.
And excuses.
Baloney.
I know. Well, this just goes to show the how far these people will go when they can't get their own way. Well, here's the people that resigned. This is the executive committee, the first one. Courtney Leandardis, her husband is the city attorney.
Who just got a $60,000 raise.
Yes.
Her husband.
Her husband, yes. Ellen Keel, I don't know her. Mm-hmm. She's the first vice chair. Jeffrey Partridge.
Jeff Partridge is Michelle Madigan's campaign manager.
Okay, yeah. And part of the Partridge family back in the TV days. Kathleen Wilson.
Yeah.
Third vice chair. Joanna Zandgrando. Now, I apologize for the name since she was the secretary. Now we get into the 11 other resignations. Catherine Gorman, mm-hmm. Jennifer Blanchard, Charles Brown, mm-hmm, Charlie Brown, who used to be the chairman of the Democratic Party and really didn't move the party along.
No.
Frank Capone, no relation to Al. Cynthia Corbett, John Daly, Michelle Feinstein, Nancy Goldberg, Janet Kaczynski, who is the wife of the past deputy mayor, I think.
Yeah, isn't John Daly also a deputy of some department?
I think he is, yeah.
I think he's public safety.
Public safety, yeah. Could be, yeah. Michelle Feinstein, Nancy Goldberg, Janet Kaczynski, Jane Wee, who's the four-time loser in
City politics
for different positions. Yeah. Michael Sharp.
Who's also the deputy commissioner for finance.
For finance, who's Michelle Madigan's commissioner, deputy commissioner, and city deputy commissioner of finance. Now, these people resigned because they were upset that Patty Morrison
won.
Beat Michelle Madigan.
She won.
One
only knows what one means.
That's right.
It's like, I came in a close second. It's in horseshoes and hand grenades. Second is not.
That's right. I mean, if you win a horse race by your nose, you still win. You still get the winner's purse.
That's right.
And so, Patty Morrison, we're going to see you during the race, and you've got a lot of people behind you.
Yep.
And, she's very well qualified.
This is just yet another example of Michelle Madigan spewing nothing but half-truths.
That's right.
And, and we'll get into it, I'm sure, before the hour's up. But, it goes back. Patty went out and worked her tail off. Knocked on about 2,000 doors, listened to what people had to say, and they turned out. And, again, one of the highest turnouts ever in this history. And what does Michelle say? Oh, low voter turnout. You know, she's just so used to having a microphone in her face
yeah.
and says stuff that are just not true.
Right.
And, you know, and that's the way she's been operating inside City Hall. And that's why we want to see Michelle Madigan find another occupation.
That's right. And hopefully she will. Listen, you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. The phone number in the studio, if you wish to call, is 518-580-5783. And we'll take phone calls of any kind. That's 518-580-5783. One of the things too, Pat, when we'll go down the list here, I, in keeping with this Madigan thing, I just have one more statement to make. And I think this is what Wendy Libertor was alluding to when she said that the Democratic Party is in disarray. I don't think the party itself is in disarray because they have a new executive committee that has taken over and has straightened out. And one of the committee members had said that the dead weight actually was cut from the Democratic committee. And I kind of think that's true. I mean, there was things that Charlie Brown, when he was chairman, wouldn't bring up for a vote during committee meetings, most likely because he didn't agree with it and was afraid that, they would pass. Then the committee members had, mentioned that. So anyway, this is a quote from current Mayor Kelly, who I think is a big disappointment. I, as you know, we helped Meg and her campaign, and I don't know. But anyway, her comment after the primary vote said, "We will win in November, and we will bring it strong," Kelly told Madigan supporters after the June primary. Yeah. I find that very
Why aren't the Democrats pulling
terrible.
That endorsement?
I know.
I mean, here's a, you know, I understand what Meg is saying and why she's saying it. But it certainly does not behoove the Democratic Party to have what would what some people would perceive as the leader of the Democratic Party saying, well, forget about that primary result. I like Michelle Madigan, who, quite frankly, I will share some more information later on in the show. But the idea that this woman now is out there saying, I'm going to back the person who lost the Democratic primary.
Sure.
It's just
I know. It's dysfunctional. And, one of the things about the I'll tell you, it's crazy politics, and there's so much that we have to talk about. But in the endorsement procedure, they have endorsed Patty Morrison.
Good.
And that was a little bone of contention mm-hmm. after the primary, but they finally, this new commission did endorse Patty Morrison for great reason. She's the most qualified candidate. But they refused to endorse Kendall Hicks, who's the running for the Commissioner of Public Works. And on the flip side, the Democrats aren't running anyone for Commissioner of Accounts, Commissioner of Finance. And I find that a little bit crazy because they one of the committee members, who's a commissioner's wife, is actually promoting the Democrat candidates. And to me, as a Republican, if I were a Republican, I mean, I'm a no party, I'm an independent, I would find that very disgusting.
So do I.
And most likely would leave the party over that.
Yeah.
If I've got my own party committee members siding with some Democrat candidates instead of putting candidates up ourselves, I would be embarrassed. They should be embarrassed. And they have new leadership that promised they would straighten things out, and they're just falling into the same things. Now, they did have a candidate that ran that was going to run against Michelle Madigan.
Oh, Bob. Yeah.
Bob.
What a joke that was.
But his petitions were thrown out.
Yeah.
And I honestly think they were thrown out on purpose.
I know why they were thrown out. I know exactly. They were thrown out for good reason. But for Bob to say, well, I was never going to run against Michelle, you're like, Bob, I saw your petitions. They were just lousy petitions. And subsequently, you know, they got tossed.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I saw the petitions, and I just saw how poorly And that was the, we'll call the old guard of the Republican Party. You know, he was the vice chairman. And, you know, to say I never was going to run against Michelle Madigan is such, you know, baloney.
Well, you know, I know Bob, and Bob's a good guy.
Oh, sure he is.
He's a good guy. We go and have coffee and we talk about politics, but among other things. I mean, not just about politics. But, I mean, this just goes to show the dysfunction in the Republican Party.
Both parties are a shambles. Yeah. And well, let me put the third party, the Independence Party, which represents a fair amount of people, but it's carried out by one.
Right.
So there's no democracy in the Independence Party. It's just like what Eddie Miller decides he wants to do, and that's what's done. There's never annual meetings. There's never any votes taken. It's just political baggage, you know, that he carries and gets paid well for.
Well, let's, before we get on the salaries of the commissioners and what they're trying to pull off before the election, or after the election, I have a feeling they're going to do this.
Do what?
To increase salaries. But that, we'll get into that. But what I want to do, you brought up a point about ethics.
Yeah.
Independence Party, and I'd like to talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about what happened over the summer, which involved ethics.
Yeah,
which I feel, here again, this is my opinion.
Sure,
there are no ethics in Saratoga Springs politics. No. It's very unethical.
Right.
So why don't you set up what happened with the Independence Party, Eddie Miller, working for the city?
Yeah. Eddie Miller, who runs the Independence Party, now works for Skip Scirocco. Not only does he the Independence Party donate to all our local candidates, but they also are obviously currying favors because now Eddie's got a job within City Hall, and which is kind of ironic. But I'm not sure if they're married or what, but a long time, the two people have been living together, Eddie Miller and a woman. And this woman worked for an energy company that had business with the city, actually through the chamber. And the owner of that business sold the business to an outfit in Chicago. And, of course, with that sale, the rules and regs stayed the same. And it turns out that this woman decided, who's Eddie Miller's housemaid or I don't know what they are, but
right.
Yeah, she's I think president of the Saratoga Housing Authority as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she decided to start her own energy company because the other company that she was working for got sold as an entity. But part of the issue is that she has a non-compete agreement that she signed that basically says, regardless of what happens, whether you leave, we ask you to leave, you cannot compete with us for, I think it's 2 years. Well, March of this year, Eddie Miller sets up an LLC, and his housemaid, girlfriend, wife, I don't know who she is, decides that she's going to, who is this person who was selling energy, sell for this new company instead of her old company. Well, again, flies in the face of a non-compete. Number two, never divulge, as they're required to do, that they are, in fact, doing business with the city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not only him, but she, too, because she's involved as a volunteer, but nonetheless, there is a form anybody who's involved with City Hall, and I was one for 10 years, you have to fill out and say, you know, do you do business with the city or do you do business with people who do business with the city? It's pretty pretty standard
pretty
form.
Pretty standard, yeah.
Right. And, but all of a sudden, the city shifts its business to this new company.
Owned
by Eddie Miller and his girlfriend. And then, you know, when you raise it, the Democratic process should have been a fair and an honest reveal of this. It wasn't fair and honest.
No.
You know, you've got, you know, again, it goes back to the political part of things. You know, how much money is the Independence Party giving Michelle Madigan, Meg Kelly, not Peter Martin this year, but in the past, you know, these donations are coming, and they're coming from Eddie Miller.
And they endorsed all the current.
Commissioners. And gave them somewhere between $500 and $1,000 each.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden you've got the situation where now that someone calls attention to this woman and her husband or whatever he is, having this ethical violation, which it's an ethical violation, but it gets shredded into the democratic process within City Hall, which is not democratic. You know, and it's kicked out that this, you know, there's no basis of it. Well, let's wait for the Attorney General to come out back on that, right, because the charge has been sent to the Attorney General as well. But you get these things. It's there's no ethical violation, really.
And it was passed by the council to hire these people 5-0.
Yeah.
So the council unanimously voted to give them, and I think they made off the top was $30,000.
You make about $30,000 off
$30,000, and the city was okay by having an employee making money off the city. Now, if they had just filed the form and had informed the council that they owned the company, or filed the disclosures, mm-hmm, like you said, mm-hmm, I mean, probably would have been okay. If I was a city, I still wouldn't do it because a city employee.
And a city volunteer.
Right.
Who, by the way, who's representing this woman who's head of the housing authority, is she's hired. And she's perfectly legal to hire. But the guy who she's hired to represent her is the attorney for the housing authority.
Yep.
So you can see this almost incestuous relationship. And then we stand there and go, there's no ethical violation? Oh, come on here.
Well, and I only took the reply from the ethics board off of another ethics complaint that Patty Morrison placed against Madigan. And
well, this is another one.
It's another one.
Okay.
That says... Patty Morrison had said that Madigan had improperly received direct campaign contributions by proponents of rezoning projects currently before the city's council. Yes.
Oh.
Well, the hospital. And I want to just mention in here that Madigan received close to $30,000 in campaign contributions from a campaign party over at one of the... city attorneys who handles zoning.
Well, he's not the city's attorney, but
not the city attorney, but a city in an attorney in the city
who's a Republican,
and these donors were contractors, builders, and so anyway, in that vein, this is the
Before you go back, you know, she was also approached, not Patty, but by Madigan was approached because her campaign filings were wrong, so she amended all her campaign filings based on that party at Matt Jones's house because they were just wrong.
Mean,
and Matt's, you know, Matt's a good guy, but you know, when you sit back and you think about it, you have campaign violations, and now he's violating because he's given more money to Scirocco than
right.
You know, and you're just like, come on, people, wake up and smell the coffee here.
Well, here's the ethics board's response. Since the ethics code expressly excludes campaign contributions from the definition of gift, which 15 contractors and developers make a contribution to one of the key council people that is pushing for the rezoning, all right. Since expressly exclude campaign contributions from the definition of gift, the ethic board finds that the receipt of a campaign contribution by a city elected official under the circumstances you described does not constitute a violation of the gift provisions of this code.
Yeah, I think they think everybody in Saratoga does not have a nose.
Well, they
These
do.
Things stink.
They do.
There's not even, you know, they doesn't pass the smell test. I mean, it reeks of political favoritism. And it's been happening for a long time. You just think in today's modern age, you'd be smart enough not to do this stuff. But you sit there and I kind of go back. It's Michelle Madigan performs like a Republican in a Democrat's clothes. Now she didn't get the Democratic nomination. Now she's going to be a new entity, still receiving all kinds of donations from people who want to curry favors with City Hall.
Right.
And you'd think that would be enough for people to say, enough, we don't want any more of this. Instead, you know, Michelle's out there like, I want 2 more years because I act in the best interest of the city. Baloney. Baloney. You know, she wants her lifetime health care benefits. If she works January 1st of 2020, she qualifies for lifetime benefits, which is probably now in today's marketplace is about $750,000. over what potentially is her average lifestyle.
Right, it's $25,000 a year. Chris Mathiesen, when he went to at the city public hearing about the commissioner's raises, he said that the insurance is worth a family plan $25,000 a year.
And Mike Sharp said the exact same thing.
Yeah. So what we're looking at here is her trying to, I mean, I think that's one of the main reasons why she, and this is Madigan, was so intent on winning this upcoming election so she could have health benefits for life.
She said that in public.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And the part of the sad problem is, and I'll repeat this again, Patty Morrison is very well qualified to handle that position. Michelle Madigan thinks that there's no one else on the face of the earth that could do what she can do for Saratoga. That means we can never have another finance commissioner because no one can ever live up to what Michelle Madigan does, and that's a bunch of hooey.
Oh, my God, it is.
Because we've had...
Well, you know, she makes herself out so qualified. I remember when she first started running for office, she was a librarian.
Exactly.
And she made herself sound like she's this financial wizard. She was a librarian, and nothing against librarians.
Oh, no.
But she was the first one back in those days to admit how unqualified she was.
That's right. And you just look at and listen to Patty. She'll be at your house, I'll guarantee it. And listen to her business background and the budgets that she handled and the projects that she was in charge of for the amount of money that we're talking about.
And Patty's obviously a good example of, you know, the ability to run for public office in this. But we also have to not tip our hats to the department.
Yeah.
That department has been running flawlessly for decades.
Yep.
Because of the influx of a lot of money into this community.
Right.
Just read the transactions of real estate every week, and the city gets a portion of that.
Yep.
Look at the tourism that's brought. The city really is a beneficiary of this phenomenal influx of money. The only bad year we had was, I don't know, 6-7 years, no, more than that, probably 10 years ago,
right,
when the governor pulled the VLT. That was $770,000.
Right.
But so we had one bad year. We still, Michelle Madigan walked in the door with, I want to say it was $5 million in surplus. She's, she wants a parade this year because she puts in $1.2 million in a surplus. So we've gone from a lot of surplus to almost nothing, which, you know, next year she'll have spent that down.
Right.
Because that's where her track record
has increased.
Expenses have increased.
From what they were,
but you sit down and you think about it. We've had kind of one bad year in the last 15, but you know she wants to take credit for all this. Wilton, on the other hand, has a $10 million surplus. So here we are, wonderful Saratoga, which I love too, but we have a $1.2 million surplus and we can't pat ourselves on the back enough. And you look next door to Wilton and they don't even collect a town tax and they have $10 million in reserve.
Yeah.
But Madigan, it's just, she continues to spread the baloney and we think it's prime rib.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's unreal when you talk to people and you explain things to them and how they say, you got to be kidding me. And no, that's not the fact. But all right, let's move on. Council meeting this past Tuesday. A couple things came up that I think we have to be very concerned about. Number one, we have commissioners that are elected and they can say that they're full-time jobs. I think you can put in what you want to put in. I think the mandatory is 20 hours a week. Some of them make it out to be a full-time position. However, they do, each five commissioners have a deputy commissioner. Now, we can't be concerned by that title, deputy commissioner, because for all intents and purposes, they are the people that run the departments.
Right. Right.
Their salary is 87?
No. 74.5.
$74,500.
Plus benefits.
Benefits and pension equal probably what, half of that?
55.1% is the benefits cost to the city.
Okay, so we're looking at over $105,000
sure.
a year. So they're the ones that are there every day, 8 hours a day, or 7 hours a day, it is 35 hours they work.
Mm-hmm.
And some may put in an hour or two extra. That's fine. Almost everybody that has a job tends to put in a little extra time. So 35 hours a week, 100 and some thousand dollars with benefits in that. So if you look at your town or your city council people, the elected officials make anywhere between $12,000 to $14,500 because they're the legislators. They go to the meetings and at night and make and pass laws and make decisions. Well, our commission, the commissioners were getting paid what $14,500. And now they want to come up with a proposal, which they did. It was tabled. They didn't have enough votes to bring it forward because you have an election coming up in November.
Right. We're going to be lily white between now
right,
and November.
Right, but a week after election, it'll come up. And what they want to do is raise their salary from $14,500 to $30,000 a year. Plus, I think when you're a sitting council member, you do get health insurance benefits.
Correct.
Only until you leave office, except if you're in for 10 years. So what we're looking at is a salary of $30,000 plus $25,000 that a commissioner's making. Mm-hmm. So figure it's $55,000. I think that's obscene.
For a half-time job.
Half-time job and for an elected commissioner because... When you run for public office, how I feel, I mean, I've had council people in my family. My father was an alderman. The salary you get is not really high because, number one, you are the elected official. Mm-hmm. And you become elected because you want to. You want to do civic work. And take pride in helping develop the city as it goes along. You don't do it for the money. Now, a deputy may do because that's a full-time job.
It's a career.
And it's a career. So I understand
that. And in the four deputies, I didn't say five, I said four. The four deputies that we have do a very good job. And, you know, while some of them are light on experience, they've learned the ropes and they do a good job and they interact with the public as they should in a very nice fashion. But again, it's just as well, you know, always come back down to it is it's the commission form of government.
Exactly.
That just separates every issue into politics versus facts.
Right.
And ultimately, these guys are power brokers, not the deputies, but the commissioners. I'm going to decide, you know, whether your street's paved or not. I'm going to decide whether we, you know, buy from this guy or from that guy. I mean, you know, we have people that we've decided we don't collect taxes because it costs too much.
Right.
Like, what? We're in the business of collecting taxes. That's what we do. The Michelle said it's too busy. You know, we came across millions of dollars that are owed to the city, and her response was, it's too expensive to collect those taxes. So I don't have to pay my taxes next year?
Right.
Baloney.
Well, you set a key there.
But let me go back to that point.
Yeah.
So here's an entity. We'll call them city council, but more on the finance side. There's a businessman here in town that has the towing contract for the city, and he also sells vehicles to the city. Go look him up and find out how many back taxes he's got. It's six figures. Hmm. And you sit back going, why are we not saying we're not going to buy anything from you and your contract is null and void because you violate the law and not pay your taxes? But again, I don't see the tie between Madigan and this businessman, but I just have to laugh. You just sit back and you're thinking, this is beyond the smell test. This mm-hmm. reeks. And then, you know, this little old lady on Oak Street that's paying her taxes religiously, that's okay. But businessmen in town are going six figures into the city's pockets, and nobody's doing anything about it.
Right.
Six figures.
No, I know. Well, look at what I figured out was, and this was an issue last or 2 years ago, but if the commissioners pass their salary increase, which mm-hmm. if they do, there should be a riot in Saratoga. Because they don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. That will be...
It turns out, you know, they do it in August. Of all months, it comes up in August when no one's really paying a whole lot of attention. They're on vacation.
Right.
I mean, do it in October. Let's talk about this in October.
Yeah.
Before the elections.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, we can't do that, you know. No. But, you know, in August when nobody's paying attention, we bring it up.
Well, here's the figures that I came up with. It'll be an increase in salary. The dollar amount would be $85,000. Mm-hmm. Add that on to the insurance that they get. And I'm not going to count Scirocco in that because he's a retired city employee. He already has health benefits for life.
So does John.
So that's $100,000.
John Frank has lifetime benefits because he's been here longer than 10 years.
But what I'm saying is we're paying that.
Sure.
He, you're right. Right. Okay, so right. I'm figuring $100,000 for the four commissioners. Mm-hmm. You're looking at $185,000 amount of money that's spent on these commissioners. Mm-hmm. They complained, all except the mayor, Joanne Yebsen, and Chris Mathiesen, who's out now, but he's for the salary increases, as he said at the mm-hmm. public hearing, who complained about a salary for a city manager because it would cost the city, what was this figure?
About $125,000.
About $125,000. Yeah. They complained and said, this form of government, no, it's going to increase city spending money for no reason at all for a city manager when they're willing now to increase their salaries by $185,000. And to me, that's two-faced. They want to screw the people of Saratoga Springs. And I don't know if the people are going to go for it because you had over 4,500 people vote to change the form of government and stop stuff like this happening.
Oh, it's going to continue to happen because there's no check and balance.
That you're
there is
you're
absolutely
darn right.
No check and balance.
You're darn right.
You know, whether it's, you know, we subjectively decide who we're going to collect taxes from. Total violation of the public's trust. Total violation. You know, oh, it's too expensive to go after these people. Well, I guess I'm going to stop paying my taxes.
That's right.
But you sit back and like, well, none of us do that because we understand the value of what we do.
Sure.
But for the decision-making process right now inside City Hall, it's abysmal. You know, you've got a city attorney riding roughshod over these people who have filed an ethics violation whose wife happened to be the head of the former Democratic Party. Oh, gee, boy, there's no coincidence here. How about recusing oneself? I mean, when I was a volunteer for the city for well over a decade, when there's a hint of any kind of conflict, you recuse yourself. You step away. And none of that gets done. It's just like, well, you know, we're going to do it because we're so damn arrogant. We can do what we want. And, you know, I'm hoping that November 5th, people pay attention to what's going on in City Hall and say, this is crazy. It's, you know, to decide, well, why we're collecting Rick Thompson's taxes and not, you know, Joe Smith's.
Well, I think that we'll do that, Pat, because we have some candidates coming in that will state the differences that they have now with the people holding office now. And I think they're going to see the stark realization that they've had the wool pulled over their eyes for so long that I think it's time for a change on a lot of fronts. Now, I want to go back to a term you used, recusal. And what happens in a city when you have no checks and balances? Mm-hmm. We had a department head... excuse me, whose son was arrested for DWI.
Flagrant DWI.
Flagrant DWI, four charges. works for the city
yep.
under his father.
Yeah.
The first thing I would have done if I was that commissioner was to turn that over to the Human Resource Department to take care of.
Right.
I would have removed myself from that problem because I run the department, it's my son, but no, that wasn't done. He ran the whole thing, oversaw everything, never...
And by the way, the HR director at that point got a significant raise in salary.
That's right.
While this was all going on. Gee, again, very curious why the timing of a first-year employee gets a significant salary.
Right.
Who then eventually quit and left.
Yeah. All right, I know. It's
misuse of funds. All
can't make this up, and we'll put this in chronological order at some point during this campaign, so that people can see what's been going on over the past 2 years. You can't make these things up. Yeah. I mean, if you had a movie made, I don't know, it'd have to be rated R. But so anyway, this went on, and the father of the commissioner, the son of the commissioner of public works. I won't mention his name here because
I will. His name's Mark Scirocco.
Okay, Mark Scirocco is the son. Skip Scirocco is the
father. He doesn't
want
to put his name on
the
these stupid blogs that he's on. So, I mean, what the hell?
You know? I know. So, anyway, this went on for a year. Him going to court, keep getting it postponed and whatever. But he didn't have his driver's license. So, this is where it comes in, where the father should have recused himself. But what happened? Instead of being put on leave, right, all right, he hires...
He moved Skip, I can't remember Skip's last name, but he took another water meter installer and put them both in one van before they were in two vans or two vehicles. So now they take two men who are doing independent work of each other and now put them into one van and they drive around and handle the job of two people with one effort.
And so that was allowed to continue as long as he didn't have his driver's license. Correct.
Well, he's still being chauffeured around.
Oh, he is.
Oh, yeah. He's still being chauffeured around. And because I think Skip Scirocco is unwilling to show that Mark was working independently before he got the DWI, that he actually now has to work with his boss. And the gentleman that does chauffeur Mark around is a good guy, hardworking guy, been with the city for a long time.
But
the
fact is,
now we're still doing what the effect of that DWI did, because I think Skip is unwilling to show that the jobs really are can act independently of one another.
Right.
And therefore, again, you're wasting a lot of taxpayer dollars putting two men doing the job in one van.
And you're complaining because you don't have enough employees to do the jobs around the city. And if people notice, since the commissioner took office, boy, this is 10 years ago.
Yeah.
No, more than that, I think. 2006 he won. the city has lost its luster. I mean, we were up for national awards constantly. But if you travel downtown, you travel around the city, the roads are in such disrepair. Our downtown looks nothing like it used to as far as being kept up. And the flowers and being prominent and
You look at the flooding. Look at the flooding that's going on in Geyser Crest. It's been happening for 50 years, and we haven't solved the problem. Skip's been there for 10 years, not solved the problem. But he doesn't stand up and say, look at Geyser Crest. Every time it rains, it floods.
But you know what? You're talking about that. I was when it hit me about that is about 4 years ago. I had a student that I had to drop off with the bus, and he lived in Geyser Crest, and we had a heavy rainstorm that afternoon, and it was over by the time I was dropping the kid off, and I'm coming down, I can't remember what street it was, Hathorn or whatever, the water was backed up from the road, three-fourths of the up the driveway of this house, and the guys out there with a push broom trying to keep it pushed back. Oh. And I mean, deep.
It runs right into people's basements.
Yeah, I could not believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could not believe it.
You sit there and you're thinking, again, we're being sold a line of baloney, and most people are believing it. Skip's doing a great job. Really? Where?
Where?
His street just got repaved where he lives on. Maybe it looks great over there, but he doesn't get water in his basement. Go talk to the people in Geyser Crest that have to, as you said, broom it away from their house, and it's a problem that's happening, a decade or more.
Right.
And it's time for these people to go. Madigan's been selling baloney to the city, telling, I do a great job, I do this, and that. Go back and look at how she treats her budgets. Turns back $1 million to Madigan a year. Turns it back. Then he has the audacity to complain that he doesn't have any money.
Right.
Well, spend the money you're given factually and see what your budget ends up. Instead, it's jello. They create jello every year. And if you go back and look at how many times they're spending down on deficit, that's just wrong. Just wrong.
Right.
And then we it'll all come out because Maddie, she's been running roughshod over City Hall for so long, she actually believes she's doing a good job. Yeah. And instead, she's doing a terrible job spending money. And what's going to end up happening? Oh, she does a great job. Point again, like Skip. Point to where she's doing a great job.
Right.
You know, a fourth grader could have a great balanced budget with this kind of income coming in with real estate taxes and sales tax.
Sure.
But when you're like, okay, are we hiring the right amount of people? Are we solving the problems within the city, like flooding in Geyser Crest, road conditions throughout the city? No, because we don't have enough money. Why? Because we're so consumed on saying, I never raised your taxes, so, you know, reelect me. You should have raised taxes, or you should have at least fixed the problem. But instead, they just play this political shuffle that every time, and it's the same thing, just like this raise stuff.
Yeah,
it's all about getting reelected, not about doing the job.
You're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM. Phone number is 518-580-5783, and we're having a good time here talking about Saratoga, a city which both Pat and I love. My wife is a native here. Her parents were seventh generation. And I was talked to my father-in-law, and he saw Saratoga from, you know, when 86 years. And personally, I think the the shine when Saratoga was really shining was in the 80s and 90s. The city was just building up, beautiful. Yeah. You could go downtown and that. I think we've overbuilt Saratoga right now. We just keep on building. And as Pat has said in numerous past shows, our population of Saratoga, full-time residents, has only gone up
a little bit.
Probably, I'd say maybe 900 people in the last decade, according to the Census Bureau, and
it was 400.
400
officially
okay.
From 2000 2010 went up 400 people. And 593 moved to Corinth. 400 moved to Saratoga.
Right, but look at the building that's
right.
been going on.
Right.
All right, now I want to get back to another. I want to get back to another topic here. Basically, we're on it, but. As you know, I work at the track, excuse me, in the summertime as a security guard, and that's why we don't have a show in the summer. But you don't know how many people from out of town came there that I've seen over the 9 years that I've been there and said, what is going on with this city? And I says, what are you talking about? And they said, my God, it looks like New York City. Every street you go down is ripped up. Cranes, the roads are terrible. This was never Saratoga before. And I said, well, we got problems in Saratoga, but because the name Saratoga Springs, people tend to gloss over, you know, because it's such a wealthy city, and it's not a wealthy city. No. I mean, they think everybody that lives in Saratoga is a multimillionaire.
Lives on North Broadway.
Right. But... And what we've done when we were just talking about turning money back in and not having employees, I spoke with a past city deputy commissioner of public works, and he said that when he was working for the city, that the employees did a major amount of work, putting in sidewalks, doing the roads, electrical stuff, putting in sewers, repairing sewer lines. He said because the city would make money that way.
Right.
All right. So now, if you notice, any kind of repair that's done in the cities, when you go down the street and you see a sewer line being put in, it's been subcontracted out. If you see sidewalks or in new development, it's subcontracted
out. And there's a reason why that is. It's handled differently in the budget. And that's what the game is that, you know, he'll complain that he doesn't have enough people, doesn't have enough money, but the repairs come out of a different kind of the budget. And it's boring for me to tell it to you, but go look it up and realize that, you know, the repair works comes out of a different budget.
Okay.
And it's comical that this city that's
never
so
like that though.
Well, the water connection fees provided a lot of money. Skip decided to start waiving the water connection fees, and he's given away tens of millions, not thousands, tens of millions of dollars. And I don't even want to get into at this point, because I want to get into it later at some other point, of how that's run when it affects our infrastructure and the leaks in our system that we're paying for produced water to just leak into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And again, almost trillions of gallons during his tenure. So you sit there and you're thinking, where's this guy doing a good job? I don't think he's doing it anywhere. I thought this guy, and I worked for him to get him into office, but boy, what a mistake that was on my part.
Well, this guy's,
you know, you just look at this guy and like, come on, do your job.
Well, one of the things this former deputy commissioner of Public Works also said to me, he said, we're doing all this building. He said, where are we getting the water from? I mean, we don't have an unlimited source of water. Mm-hmm. And he said, we're one accident away from having no water source. And we'll get into that after the call. Morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. How about you?
Good, Rick. This is Dylan Moran.
Hello, Dylan. How are you? Funny we're talking about the subject and for the position you're running for.
Oh, no kidding. That's hilarious. I was actually going to call, and then I texted Pat last evening, and I think we missed the text. It was
at 9:30,
and then I was like, hey, the show's almost over.
That's all right.
Well, I think he was telling me to text after you guys were done. So, sorry if I'm right at the end of your dialogue.
It doesn't matter. What do we got going?
Nothing. I just wanted to give a ring and talk to you guys a little bit about how things have been going with the campaign and see if you had any questions.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad you called and brought that up. But you're going to be our guest on the 2nd of November, which is the last Saturday before Election Day.
Correct.
And how is your campaign going?
Honestly, it could not be going better. I've been focused in the last couple months on going door to door, just speaking with folks out there, and a couple things are obvious. One, there's a lot of frustration with the way things are going. Though they may portray it one way, quite honestly, the city's not happy with the direction of the council or a lot of things that have been going on. And there are big sections of this city where the population is uniform in their distrust and unhappiness with what's happened or how their specific concerns or issues are being managed or not being managed or paid attention to. So it's validating in as much as the things that I saw personally and some of the things that made me want to run are consistent with the feelings of the rest of the citizens. So,
sure.
You know, it's very validating.
Well, you know, Pat and I always use this term, and Pat may have a question for you, but Pat and I always use this term when we are doing our change of charter work, change of the form of government. And the key to, I'd probably say the largest key to that is education.
I agree.
People do not realize what's going on, and you have to educate. Apathy is one of the biggest things in any area, especially in Saratoga politics, because it's been run by the old guard for so long. But now that's different. People have their own minds about things. So education is the key.
Oh, absolutely. And beyond that, I think that Saratoga's a little unique. If you look at the demographics, we have a much higher concentration of educated folks. And more than half our population has moved here since 1999. So that's a few things. One, they don't have some of the tribal knowledge or the history that the folks that have lived here have. But when they get here, and, for instance, they bought a house in Geyser Crest 20 years ago, and their house has flooded every single summer since then, they don't care about the history. They care about the 20 years they've been here and the fact that nothing has happened to change the situation.
You're right.
Specifically, the flooding that's going on in Geyser Crest, there's an article from 2015 where my opponent claims to have solved all of the flooding in Geyser Crest. And in 2019, he was just on Channel 6 News saying he knew nothing about it. So which one is it? Because, quite honestly, I know that there was a plan presented to him 5 years ago by our city engineer, Tim Wales, that could have solved this, and he refused to implement it. So, you know, I am running to hold this gentleman accountable, because without that check and balance within our electorate system, he hasn't had to do anything. He hasn't been accountable. It allows him to have one set of rules for the employees and one set of rules for his child who works for the department. unacceptable to anybody who lives in this city to have that type of cronyism and nepotism at play. It is 2019. We do not accept that type of thing from our government.
No, we don't. Hey, listen, Pat, do you have anything to ask?
Yeah, Dylan, thanks for calling in, first of all. Second of all, what do you think the bigger issues? Obviously, we're all in agreement that Skip Scirocco's not doing the job that is needed for the city. But when you're elected, what do you think are your top priorities going forward?
Well, you know, this is a big task, and you know, my professional history illuminates that for me. I understand what it takes to make change happen. I have a Six Sigma black belt. I'm an expert in the area of continuous improvement. It's going to take 6-8 years to really get this thing turned around and functioning as a modern process. And by that, what I mean, we have a $12 million department that's run by a paper system, 100-plus employees. People's children have more sophisticated social schedules and tools to manage them than we do within the department to manage that. So I'm going to be implementing a modern computer-based system to track time and tasks so that we can start to understand where we need more people, where we're not reaching the needs of the folks as it relates to basic services. I use the term blocking and tackling. Those are some of the first things that I'm going to implement as it relates to the functioning of the department. We're going to have a reorganization. We're going to be eliminating some positions that are completely patronage and political-based hires. Those folks will no longer be in the department because they're not adding value. Lastly, the reimplementation of connection fees is absolutely essential to the future of this city, and it is incredibly unfortunate that we have had to endure all of this development without a fair and representative contribution from that activity to the cities. Because as it is right now, the taxpayers are bearing the burden of the cost of development, plain and simple.
Yep. Well, am I wrong, Dylan, to think that if you add up all the projects since we started waiving the fees, am I wrong to assume that it's tens of millions of dollars that we've lost because of not collecting those fees?
Right now I'm using the figure of $4 million, and I think that number is very low.
Okay.
It's simply a math problem. That is, the old connection fee, which was after your first unit, it's $3,000 for the first connection, $2,000 for the second. So, for instance, 100 units would be $201,000.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how many units have been added since 2014 to the city.
Oh,
I don't have the ability to check that number. I have a FOIL in seeking to understand how many connections have happened in that period, and we have not received that information. There's a state report that is issued every year and required to be issued every year by the city. And since 2014, Skip has indicated we have the same 9,680 connections. If anybody thinks that we have the same amount of connections today as we did in 2014, you know, obviously I got a bridge to sell you.
Hey, just one question before we go off the air.
Yes, sir.
You know, I don't think he has a water plan either, because I think and you can address this in a future show. With all these new water connection hookups, we basically only have one water source.
We have three source waters.
Yeah.
We have Lufbery Lake, we have the Bog Meadow well field, and then we have the Geyser Crest well field.
But you
so
can
depending on where
Geyser,
you live in the city, your water comes from a different place.
Right. But Geyser Crest, I mean, it can't service the city in case of an emergency. And Bog Meadows, the wells will never service the city in an emergency. So
depends on the time of the year.
Basically,
potentially could. In the summertime, well, no way, no help.
Basically,
no help could it.
Right. Well, we're becoming a city, a large city, so I think we're going to need a plan. But we're one accident away from not being able to use Lufbery Lake. I mean, if
correct.
You get
our dam is about to collapse, and
right.
The state is forcing us to replace it.
Well, not
I don't
only
think
that.
You should wait. Yeah, but I don't think you should wait for the state to tell you to fix something when it's broken. I think you should have your responsibility as Department of Public Works Commissioner is to recognize those things and get ahead of them.
Right. Well, what if you got a tractor trailer?
To the point where they're going to crumble.
What if you got a tractor trailer that goes into the lake? We're screwed there,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that you said is, and we harp on this when we go for changing the form of government. The commission form here in Saratoga is a reactive form of government, not a proactive form. I mean, when you send a fire truck that's 19 years old to a fire, and the fire truck catches on fire...
Not from the fire they went to,
just right. caught on fire at the fire. You've got a problem in not being proactive and having
a plan.
I agree, and I
would never make light of the job that our firefighters or our sure. other public safety professionals do, or for that matter, public works workers. They have very, very dangerous jobs. These men and women are often put in a position of peril.
It's not the employee's fault.
No, but get this. We have pipes that are failing, and when we're asking them to run into that burning building, there very likely is the potential that the water may not give them the flow and pressure they need to do their job. And you look no further than what happened on Woodlawn.
Sure.
With that row of houses, they did not have adequate water to fight that fire, and thank God nobody was hurt. But these issues are incredibly serious. We had a violation of the Clean Water Act in 2017 for a material that's been mandated to be monitored and controlled since the 70s. In 2017, that is unacceptable.
Absolutely.
And as a professional and someone who has spent his life working in the field of water, I am not going to accept that as a result.
Right.
Nor would I ever lessen, because you look at what's going on with our president, nor would I ever acknowledge or accept a lessening of the regulations that relate to the water quality and the responsibility I have for the public health in this role.
All right. Well, Dylan, thanks for calling.
Thanks for running. Can I add one thing to your list, please? I think you have to change the color of paint on DPW vehicles to rust, because there's so much rust on these vehicles. A rust color might not show
it already, I could spend 7 hours with the gentleman talking about all the things that the citizens have shared with me. I'm looking forward to seeing and speaking with you guys on the second. I so appreciate the invite, and I will have spoken to, hopefully by that time, every voter in the city.
I hope. And we are going to expand that show from 7:30 to 9 o'clock.
Great.
We're going to cut out a half hour of our music show to expand the show. But we really do have to go now, and we thank you for calling in. Because
we all need our polka, I understand.
Yeah, we need a polka, but there are a lot of important issues to talk about under the Public Works umbrella. So we'll talk about it, and I want to thank you for calling in, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Dylan. Pat,
qualified guy. He's not a librarian. He's not a dog catcher. He's actually a professional in the field.
Right.
And that's what we deserve and
need. We got to get out of the 1920s.
Yeah.
And we got to get into the 2019, 2020s. We've got to pull ourselves up from that. We had a lot more to talk about today, and hopefully we'll have an open slot maybe sometime in October to get into more of the topics. But next week we have Sarah Berger, the chairwoman of the Democratic Party. The week after that we have a group from Save Morgan Street. The ones that the addition to the hospital will be affecting if they do that. The week after that, we have Robin Dalton, who's the
Republican
public safety. And I do want to talk to Sarah about Kendall Hicks, too.
Yeah.
In November, we have we'll have Patty Morrison on. In October, we have... Tim Wales, the city engineer that Skip has put on paid leave because he grew up with Dylan Moran, and is a friend of his. So Tim and his attorney will be here as a guest. So we got a real full show, a lot of fun shows coming up.
I think we should fit in Tim Holmes, who's running for mayor and is getting basically railroaded by the Republican Party.
I can't get a hold of him. I've got two open dates in October.
I'll get him on.
Get him on, okay?
We got to hear the story.
I'll text you the dates. We got two Saturdays in October. So thank you very much, John. I apologize for going over, but I'm getting you on right now. So everyone have a great week, and we'll be back next Saturday.